And tonight, we have said that this year is a year of love, growing in the love of Christ, walking in the love of Christ towards all men. And in love, doing the work of the ministry. Amen and amen. We are going to be exploring all the depths and dimensions of the love of God. But today I want to speak to you concerning worship. And as we deal with this particular topic, we are going to cover some things that pertain to our walk of love, our growth in love, and our ministering in love. Hallelujah. We're going to cover worship. And I want to lay this premise first, or let me begin by asking this question, a question that in the answer to the question, we are going to explore all the things that, you know, we would want to explore concerning worship. And the question simply is this: what constitutes our worship of God as Christians? Amen. Is somebody there with me? What constitutes our worship of God as Christians? Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says, Paul said to young Timothy, how that you have known the scriptures since you were a child, I'm paraphrasing, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. And then he also said to young Timothy that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. He said, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, lacking nothing. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So the word of the Lord shows us or teaches us that which God expects for us and from us as believers. Amen and amen. It is the wisdom of God unto us. So as believers, we pay attention to the word of God. And as we pay attention to his word is going to answer this question for us. What constitutes our worship of God as believers? The word worship there is it's a term that is really loosely used in our generation. You know, many people think of worship, the moment they think of worship, they are immediately thinking of singing slow songs and lifting up your hands, even though those may be part of it, but that's not what worship is. I think I've taught on worship here before, but it's important for the believer to truly and properly understand what worship is and what constitutes worship for the believer, so that you live your life truly in worship of the Lord Almighty. The children of Israel, who were a type of the church to come, they were the congregation in the wilderness, a type of the church that was to come, which now is, amen. When God delivered them from Egypt, which was a type of the world, what he said to Moses was that they may come to the wilderness to worship me. So when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said to Pharaoh that, let my people go, that they may worship. God says, let my people go, that they may worship me. Hallelujah. God redeemed them or saved them from Egypt and brought them to himself to worship him. So we've been saved from the world. We've been delivered from the clutches of darkness. We've been purified by the blood of Christ, that is to say, the life of Christ. And we've been brought to God. We've been made holy, cleansed, righteous, made the sons of God, given the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? To worship God. Hallelujah. So it behooves the believer to truly understand what worship of God really means and what constitutes this worship. Amen and amen. One of the things I always say is, never live your life based on assumption. And most of the assumptions that we have are based on things that we have seen around, or things that are popular, things that, you know, we see people do all the time. Many people have assumed what worship is, and I'm not really taking the time to study from the Word of God what worship really is. So in Christ, they do things anyhow and expect that that would be worship of God. But the Bible teaches us what worship is and what constitutes worship, and that's what we want to explore today. Amen and amen, faith generation. What constitutes our worship of God? Turn with me your Bibles to John chapter number 4, if you so please. John chapter number 4. We're going to read from verse 21. Just a quick background. This is a popular story we all know in the Bible. This is Jesus meeting the woman at the well. Hallelujah. The Samaritan woman. And Jesus had an interesting discourse with this Samaritan woman. And in that discourse, Jesus made certain telling statements that reveals truths about our worship of God. Amen and amen. John chapter number 4, verse 21. Actually, let me read from verse 19 downwards. You know, after Jesus had revealed to this woman at the well that he has 5 husbands and the person he's with now is not even his husband, the woman perceived that Jesus was a prophet. So he said to Jesus in verse 19, the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." So the woman immediately brought up the bone of contention between the Samaritans and the Jews. We don't want to go into the history of the Samaritans and the Jews, but the Samaritans were people that, you know, had been brought into the covenant. Because remember when the children of Jacob defended their sister Dinah by killing all the Samaritans, right? The Samaritans who had, they had taken, after their sister was raped, they went in there when they went into a peace agreement with them and asked them to be circumcised if they're going to be part of the covenant. By that circumcision, they became part of the covenant. But they slew them, they killed all of them. So the Samaritans always saw themselves as part of the Jews, but the Jews never recognized them as such. And because of that, there was always this struggle between the Samaritans and the Jews. And they had the law too. Like they studied the law and they knew that there was a Messiah to come. And the main bone of contention between them, and the woman brought it up, he said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Because Jerusalem was a place where God would place his name from year to year, and men would journey, all the Jews, wherever they are, Jews in the diaspora would journey to Jerusalem to perform all the various sacrifices and acts of worship. So that was the contention between them. And she brought that up. And Jesus responded to the woman in verse 21. He says, Jesus said to a woman, "Believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in the mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." Hallelujah. That means that Jesus immediately relegated that whole bone of contention, that whole argument, or that whole thing that was between the Samaritans and the Jews. He relegated it to the background that it doesn't even matter. Here is the truth, and Jesus is about to reveal to them. He says, neither in the mountain nor in Jerusalem are you going to worship the Father. Then he said to him, "Ye worship, ye know not what, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him." This statement of Jesus is loaded and needs to be unpacked. The first thing we need to understand is the use of the word worship. What is it? It comes from the Greek word. The word worship here comes from the Greek word proskoneo. Proskoneo. It means to prostrate oneself in homage. Almost like lying before somebody, paying homage to the person. It means to reverence, to show reverence and to adore someone. It gives the idea of honoring someone, adoring someone, and serving someone, recognizing that the person is greater than you. So in worship is a recognition of the greatness of the person who is being worshiped. Hallelujah. So worship cannot take place without a recognition of the greatness of the person to whom the worship is being given. It is an adoration of the person, a praise. And in that praise and adoration is also the recognition of the attributes of that person. That is why in worship, when you hear people singing songs of worship to someone, you hear appellations in the songs. You hear them sing of how great the person is, how mighty the person is, how beautiful the person is, and they have all kinds of names for the person. These are appellations, they are adorations of the person. Hallelujah. Worship entails that. Amen and amen. It is an honor of the person, recognizing the stature and position of the person and honoring such a one. And in most times in the old days, they would bring tribute as a sign of honor to that person. Amen and amen. And it is also service, committing oneself in service of the person. Another word for that is ministration. Amen and amen. So if you notice in the Old Testament, the priest, God called them to himself to minister to him. That is to serve him in the temple. Hallelujah. So worship entails all these things. Amen and amen. But Jesus also said, ye worship, ye know not what, for salvation is of the Jews. Then he said, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers, Jesus uses the word true, and this is not the first and only time Jesus uses that word true to qualify a particular statement. Anywhere in the Gospels where you see the word true before, I am the true vine, or I'm the true bread that came from heaven, Jesus was showing a juxtaposition between what they had in the old, what we call the old covenant. Hallelujah. Because all those things that they did were in types and shadows. That means they were not the real thing. They were pointers to a reality to come. And that reality is what Jesus calls the true. So when he says true worshipers, he's giving you a comparison between what he is about to do and the worshipers of old. The worshipers of old, how did they worship? They either worshipped in the mountain or in Jerusalem, like the woman was talking about. When they came there, what did they bring? They brought sacrifices of bulls and goats to honor the Lord. And they served the Lord in types and shadows, in symbols. Hallelujah. In the things that they did. All those acts of worship and objects of worship that they used, Jesus says, that was not the true worship. Not that that is fake worship or it wasn't real. Or let me not use the word real. It was not proper, no. It was simply a pointer to a reality to come. So all the various sacrifices that were involved in, the meat offerings and the burnt offerings and the wave offerings and the tithe and all those things, they were all symbols, types and shadows pointing to a reality. And Jesus is saying, when Jesus came, he says, he is the fulfillment of all those things, the reality to come. Hallelujah. So he says, where the true worshipers shall worship the Father, not in types and shadows, not in symbols anymore, but in spirit and in truth, that is in reality. And you can only worship in reality by the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why it says in spirit and in truth. Amen and amen. So Jesus, what Jesus was saying, he was unpacking a lot of things. Listen to what he says. He says, for the Father, who is the Father he's talking about? That is God. Seeks such to worship him. This is what Father actually seeks and wants. That means up until the time Jesus came, Father had not really gotten what he wanted in terms of worship. Amen and amen. So he had to endure what they were doing. That's why he says the sacrifices of bulls and goats, he would not. Hallelujah. He had no pleasure in them. So the question is, why did they keep bringing it? He endured all those until the reality came. Amen and amen. And when Jesus came by his death and resurrection, he purified unto Father a new breed of people. He circumcised unto Father a new breed of people called a holy generation, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. A people who worship him in spirit and in truth. So Paul says, for we are the circumcision. Remember, the children of Israel in the wilderness, when God called them, what set them apart was circumcision. It was a sign of the covenant. Hallelujah. The cutting off of the force of their foreskin. That was a sign that they were in covenant with God. Amen and amen. But that was also a type and a shadow of a reality to come. What is the real circumcision? The circumcision of the heart. Jesus taking away your stony heart and renewing a right spirit within you the day you got born again, filling you with his spirit so that you may walk in his ways. Amen. That's what the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So in Philippians 3:3, Paul says, we are the circumcision. We are the true circumcision. Our circumcision is not in the flesh. We are no longer dealing with types and shadow. That was a type and a shadow pointing to a reality. The real thing is the circumcision of the heart. And that takes place when a man hears the gospel. Amen. That's why the Bible says that he has delivered us from the corruption that is in this world into his kingdom, into his marvelous light. Amen and amen. He has circumcised our hearts, hallelujah, which worship God in spirit. We're no longer worshiping symbols and types and shadows anymore. That's why when you see believers who are still engrossed in symbols and types and shadows, you begin to wonder what's wrong with them. Amen and amen. You begin to wonder what's wrong with them. When the reality is here, what are you doing with the symbols? Amen. For example, like Jesus said to John the Baptist, said to, John says, I indeed baptize you with water. John was the last prophet of the Old Testament. He was the last prophet of the Old Testament. Jesus said, of all men born of women, John is the greatest. Yes, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. Why? Because of the dispensation John was in. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets to come. All the prophets came prophesying of the Messiah to come. And they did that and demonstrated his work in types and shadows. Moses did, Elijah did, they all did. John was the last. And John's type and shadow he came with was baptism. That's why it's called, he was called John the Baptist. Hallelujah. He was the one who introduced. Prior to John, there was nothing like baptism. It was John who introduced water baptism unto repentance. It was a type and shadow of salvation to come. So John said, I indeed baptize you with water. But he that is coming after me, talking of Jesus Christ, is greater than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, not with water. Because the real thing, as for me, I'm a prophet prophesying concerning the coming Messiah. And I'm using this symbol of water, water baptism, to show you what he is going to do. When he comes, he would baptize you with the Spirit unto regeneration. What brings regeneration is not water baptism. It is Spirit baptism. So the Bible says, by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body. You see that thing? So we no longer live in the shadows and in the symbols anymore. We give them up. We live and dwell in the reality. God is seeking such to worship him. Men who worship him in spirit. Hallelujah. That is what God is seeking. Amen and amen. That is what God is seeking. God is seeking such. That's why we don't worship according to the old law. Amen and amen. In the symbols and the types and the shadows and all that. We don't. Hallelujah. God seeketh such a way. So until Jesus came and made the way for this new breed of men to come, God had not yet received what he sought. He says, for Father seeketh such. That means even angels were not giving him the worship that he sought. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Angels don't worship like believers. Katun de Maria das. Someone say, Pastor Sam, are you sure angels are always bowing down before God and singing his praise and all that? Listen, when you understand, when we finish this teaching on worship, you understand why angels can't worship God the way God wants them. God wants worship. You would understand that. It's only the regenerated man in Christ that has worship of God that is acceptable to him. Hallelujah. For Father seeketh such to worship him. Up until then, none. Hallelujah. You see, that's why when the Bible says, there is nothing more real and true and more important that you must be born again. And there's nothing more real and true and more important than if any man is in Christ. That statement is a game changer. If any man is in Christ, the new creation man in Christ is the only man that Father is seeking, because he's the only man fully equipped to worship Father the way he wants. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to explore. Amen and amen. I may not complete the sermon today. I may have to pick it up again next week, but we would endeavor to get to where we get to. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So you see it. Jesus, these statements of Jesus are very telling. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For Father seeketh such to worship him. So what are the true worshipers? We've said who true worshipers are. The true worshiper is the new creation man in Christ Jesus. He is the true worshiper. The true worshiper is not the one crying in church. The true worshiper is not the one who lifted his hands in church. The true worshiper is not the one who is rolling around on the floor. The true worshiper is the new creation man in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say with me, I am a true worshiper. Talk to me, faith generation, if you are hearing me. Say with me, I am a true worshiper.
I am a true worshiper.
Hallelujah. So don't lead prayer or lead worship and say, God is looking for true worshipers. Lift up your hands and worship God. What are you talking about? You are talking to true worshipers. Hallelujah. Don't lead worship anywhere. And you hear a lot of worship leaders say that. God is seeking true worshipers. God is seeking... Who are the people gathered there in the first place? The gathering of believers is a gathering of true worshipers. That's why Philippians 3:3 says, let's repeat that again. We are the circumcision. We are the new believer in Christ, is the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You understand that? We worship God in spirit because that's what God is seeking. How are we able to worship God in spirit? Because Father has renewed a right spirit in us. Father has given us of his spirit. Ezekiel chapter number 36. If you so please, turn with me there. Ezekiel 36. Hallelujah. This is our year of love. Amen. Ezekiel 36. Turn with me there. Matose tabrande kasatas. Look at this, Ezekiel 36:22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I'll take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. And from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Hallelujah. This was a prophecy concerning the new birth in Christ. Amen. When we heard the gospel of our salvation, and believe the gospel of our salvation, our renewing and regeneration took place. This prophecy became a reality in our lives. Father not only renewed us in spirit and regenerated us in the spirit, he gave us of his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He gave us of his Holy Spirit, the one by whom we are able to worship God in spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't worship God. Without the Spirit of God, a man can't worship God. Hallelujah. That is why even Jesus, the Bible says, he offered himself through the eternal Spirit. And that is how come anything the believer does in his life is pleasing to the Father because of the Spirit. It can only be acceptable to the Father if it is offered through the eternal Spirit. And the eternal Spirit is in the believer. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So you have been made a true worshiper in Christ. Amen. That's who you are. Hallelujah. That means, remember when we began, we said, what does worship constitute for the believer? Amen and amen. And we tried to explain what worship in the context as was used in John chapter number 4, and in the broader context of the scriptures, what it means. We said to honor, to adore, to serve. Amen. That means the believer is the only person, the new creation in Christ is the only person fully equipped spiritually to honor God in the way he wants, to adore God in the way he wants, and to serve God the way he wants. No man can do that. No other person can do that. Hallelujah. No, nobody else. That's why you must be born again. So when Cornelius was doing his almsgiving and everything and all that, God knew, listen, you're not far from the kingdom, but you need to be born again. Hallelujah. To become a true worshiper. Amen and amen. That's why he sent an angel to Peter, sent Peter to Cornelius to preach the gospel to him. It is only through the gospel that men become true worshipers. Listen, when a man is a heathen, when we say a heathen, an unbeliever, even the Bible says the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. It doesn't matter what you bring. You can carry a truckload of gold and of whatever it is. It's not pleasing to the Father. He has no pleasure in it. Men are only accepted, pleasing to the Father in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. That's who we are as new creation in Christ. That's who you are. So this is not the time for you to be praying that God should create a clean heart in you. Your heart has been cleansed. Amen. Your heart has been renewed. That's who you are. You're a true worshiper. Oh God, make me a true worshiper. What are you talking about? Hallelujah. You have been made a true worshiper. Amen. So live as a true worshiper. Hallelujah. Mande sagrado staticas. Turn with me your Bibles to Romans chapter number 12, if you so please. Romans chapter number 12. Look at this, verse 1. Reading from verse 1, Paul to the church in Rome, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, your reasonable service, or your reasonable act of worship. The word service there is latria, which is ministration to God, a divine service to God, worship. It's also another word for worship. Hallelujah. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. If you notice in the Old Testament, the entirety of their worship involved sacrifices. Hallelujah. True worshipers now, because we don't worship in types and shadows and with symbols and all those things, our worship is the presentation of ourselves as living sacrifices unto God. That means we live not for ourselves, we live unto God. That's what Paul says. We touch judge that if one died, then all died. And he died that they which live might no longer live unto themselves, but live unto him who gave himself, who loved them and gave himself for them. Hallelujah. That's our reasonable worship. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. So the true believer in Christ himself is a living sacrifice. That's who you are. Your entire life in Christ is a sweet-smelling fragrance unto God. You are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Amen and amen. So he says, present your bodies as such. That means yield the members of your body as living sacrifice unto God. Use them for acts of righteousness. Use them for things that indeed show that you are a living sacrifice. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. You see it? You as a believer have been made a true worshiper. That means you worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen and amen. You are a living sacrifice unto God. You are fully equipped by the Holy Spirit to honor, to adore, to serve God. And we said in honor, you recognize there is a recognition of the stature of the one to whom honor is being given. Amen and amen. There is a recognition in adoration of the attributes of the person to whom adoration is being given. And in service, there's a recognition of the greatness and superiority of the one whom you serve. Hallelujah. And the believer in Christ is the only person fully equipped to do so. Amen and amen. So what then constitutes our worship of God as Christians? What then constitutes our worship of God as Christians? When we began, I said to you, worship is not just merely singing of songs. You know, for some even it's, when you sing fast songs, it is praises. When you sing slow songs, it is worship. They are not even concerned about the words of the song. So like we go to church and you are singing a song, because the song is slow, and just because it's slow, they think it's worship. Meanwhile, the words of the song is a prayer unto God, asking for things. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So we've established all these things. And want to now get into the answer for this question. What constitutes our worship of God as believers? Hallelujah. As we have laid these groundworks, next week we are going to pick up, our time is up here, it's 8:57. Next week we are going to pick up and explore what constitutes our worship as believers. And in that exploration, we will see where love comes in. Hallelujah. But today we have clearly established what worship is. We've clearly established that until Jesus came and completed his work, what Father was truly seeking, he had not yet received it. If he had, he wouldn't have sent Jesus to do the work he did. Hallelujah. What God was seeking was for men who worship him in spirit and in truth. And it only took the work of Christ to create men who will be able to do that. That's why Jesus came, to produce a breed of people called the new creation who worship Father in spirit and in truth, because that is what he is seeking. And we said the new believer, the believer in Christ, the new creation in Christ, is the true worshiper Jesus recreated in himself. Hallelujah. to worship God in spirit and in truth. The new believer in Christ is a true worshiper. He is a living sacrifice unto the Lord. He no longer worships in types and shadows and in symbols. He worships in the Spirit and is able to do so because of the Holy Spirit who indwells him. Hallelujah. Mandos. Listen, your entire life is a sweet-smelling fragrance to the Father. If you understand this, you would understand why it is important to walk in the light of His truth, the light of His word. Amen and amen. You would understand why you cannot give yourself to anything and everything in the world. No wonder Paul says in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. He says, this is your reasonable act of worship. You can truly express yourself as a living sacrifice when you are conformed to this world and in its ways. When you walk in this world and in its ways, how can you be that sweet-smelling fragrance to Father that He has made you to be? Amen and amen. But when you walk in the light of His revealed truth, you truly indeed are a sweet-smelling fragrance unto Father. Everything that you do is a sweet-smelling fragrance unto Father. The Father is indeed pleased. Like He said concerning His Son Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And He is well pleased with you too, because the Bible says you are accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Somebody say with me again, I am a true worshiper. Talk to me, faith generation. Say with me, I am a true worshiper.
I'm a true worshiper.
Somebody say with me, I am a living sacrifice.
I am a living sacrifice.
Somebody say with me, I am the circumcision which worship God in spirit.
I am the circumcision which worship God in spirit.
Somebody say with me, I'm fully equipped by the Holy Ghost.
I am fully equipped by the Holy Ghost.
To worship in spirit and in truth.
To worship in spirit and in truth.
Hallelujah. This is who you are. You see, this is who you are. Let this be your mindset. Mm-hmm. Amen. It would make you careful. By the time you finish this teaching, you understand why even your words must be put. That's why the Bible says, let your words be seasoned with salt. Let your words be full of grace. If you understand this, you'll be careful even with your words to your spouse, to your children, to people around you. You'll be careful because the entire flow of your life is worship to Father. And everything you do, everything you say, must reflect that. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Because we can't drink bitter water from the same fountain, sweet water and bitter water from the same fountain. It's not possible. Amen and amen. Mato se katarabadia. Lift up your voice and begin to give God praise, brethren. Lift up your voice. Begin to thank God that He has made you a true worshiper. Begin to thank God that He has made you indeed a living sacrifice. Begin to thank God in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice, O faith generation.